worship at Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It is great to be in the Lord's house and to worship together in spirit and in truth. We are just so grateful that you are here with us in worship today. Today is Valentine's Day, Scout Sunday, and the first Sunday in Lent, and I wanted to give you a word of explanation about this cross that we have in our sanctuary. On Ash Wednesday, which was the first day of Lent, we of course had ashes on our forehead to remember our mortality, but then I asked everyone to put their thumb in the ashes and put their mark of their thumbprint on that cross to signify Jesus taking his brokenness, our brokenness, on himself.
Amen.
And we're going to have this up here for Lent to remember that. So all those thumbprints represent our brokenness that we give to Jesus,
Amen.
That we give to him. And he makes us what? New and clean and whole again. Yes, absolutely. Washes us clean. Absolutely. We worship God today by sharing with one another our peace of Christ. Will you do that now? Turn to your neighbor and pass the peace of Christ.
Well, good morning.
Hey.
My name is Robin Stowers, and I am your liturgist for the month of February, and also I am a servant of God, and if there is anything I can help you with, please just tug my jacket. Okay. This morning, quickly, if we have any first-time guests with us this morning, we are so pleased that you're here. We have a little welcome card you can fill out. Everyone else, and guests included, please, if you have a prayer need, please let us know about that with the yellow card, and also salty service. You could put those in the offering plate. Quickly, newsletters are out. Half the month is over, so I hope you have yours by now. Also, if you haven't gotten your manna bag, please remember, do we still have some in the back? We still do? Okay, the manna bags is a, everybody know what a manna bag is? If you don't, raise your hand. Okay, manna bag, if you'll turn around, our usher is holding one. It's just something nice to have if you to give to someone, if you're approached by someone who is needy, it's nice to have. It has all kinds of little goodies in there to show our love and help for someone who may be in need. Okay, quickly, please take a look at the back of your bulletin so you'll know what meetings are going on. And I'm just going to start right out with some meetings that aren't on here. Every Monday night from now until Easter, Miss Barbara, who is the head of our children's ministry, would love to see some of your smiling faces come out and support the children in this church. She is the head of children's ministries, and they will be meeting every Monday night at 6:30 from now until Easter, and then that's really just going to put us right over into VBS. But anyway, just try to come and show your support and your ideas for the children's ministry, please. Also, we have had several deaths in our church, and that is something that will continue to happen. But Diane Rood, who is the chairperson of hospitality, is putting together a bereavement committee, okay? When someone in this church passes away, we would like to host a gathering in the fellowship hall for the family. And so she needs a committee that she can call upon to help bring food in. You know, back in the day, I think they might have called them wakes, but people would bring dishes to the family's home. And so this is our church family, and we want to continue that and show our love and support for our family here at Calvary and be able to help Diane out with that, okay? That's all you have to do. Stand up, Diane. This is Diane, and all you have to do is find her, and she'll put you on the list, and that's going to be a wonderful ministry. That's a great way to serve. Okay. Also, we have some Bible studies starting up. We are happy to announce that the Pastor Esther, is doing a Bible study for Lent, and it is called The Way, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus. Well, there's no other footsteps I'd rather walk in. So please sign up in the back. That Bible study starts this Wednesday here at the church at 6 o'clock. All are welcome to attend, okay? Also, starting the first Thursday in March, you might want to write that down, first Thursday in March, I don't have the date on that, Jean Clark will be starting a Bible study, Invitation to the New Testament, at 2 o'clock on Thursday, starting the first Thursday in March. And just another great way to study with friends and family and to just walk a little bit closer. You know, God doesn't want to keep us where we're at. We need to spread our wings. Okay, let me see here. Thursday night, that's right, every Thursday night. There is also another Bible study. It's actually called Draw the Circle. It is a 40-day prayer challenge. We met last Thursday, but don't let that shy you away for coming this Thursday. We meet here at the church Thursdays at 7 o'clock, another small group and another wonderful way to walk closer. And I just want to give God all the glory for all the ministries and the doings that's going on in this church right now. So, W.E. Cherry, for the month of February, computer paper, tissues, hand sanitizer, and construction paper. All right, let me see. Also, here's the help wanted sign. We still need position available for a communion steward, male or female, for the 8:15 service. No experience or references necessary, okay? What was that? Oh, and we also need a sound person. You know, there's a lot of ways that we could serve God, and there's just some empty positions, but I know that God's going to work on some people's hearts, and he will provide everything that we need. Okay, I think there's a young man who used to be rather short. Jabari, would you stand up, please? Wow. Come on down here. Jabari has an announcement for us. How tall were you when you first started coming here? This tall?
Hi, I'm Jabari with the youth. We want to thank you for your super support of our collections for the food pantry. We also want to show our sympathy for those that lost the Super Bowl last Sunday also. But we collected over $100 and 100 cans worth of food and soup. So thank you again for all your super support.
That was fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much. That is just wonderful. Okay. I believe that's it. If you would now find your worship elements, the opening words. The Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness alone. Jesus faced temptation and resisted evil.
When we face trials in our life, Christ is with us.
God provided for Jesus and met his needs.
When we are ready to give up, Christ is with us.
Enter this time of worship knowing that Christ is already among us. Our hearts filled with the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. Just to start the morning off right, we've got a change for you. The hymn we're going to sing instead of the one that's listed is going to be number 170, Oh How I Love Jesus. If you would stand and turn in your hymnals to 170. Turn to page 883 in your hymnals. We'll have our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil,
this Sunday is Scout Sunday. Thank you very much. And we have a lot of scouts that are either out of town or they're going to their own home church, which, you know, we need to be pleased with that they have a home church to go to. The story that I want to tell you today is something that's been on my heart that I wanted to share with you guys. Last September of last year, my husband and I went to Japan. He took a job there, and he's going to be there for about 3 years. And, of course, when you go to a different country, I don't know if any of you all have ever been to another country, but you don't know the language a lot of times. You don't know the culture. You don't know all the goings-on. My husband and I tried to read up a little bit, but you're still very, you're excited, but you're also kind of scared because you don't know what to expect and what's going to happen. One of the days that we were there, there was a problem with our passports. And so we had to go to Yokohama, which is a city there in Japan, to the immigration office. And in getting there, we had to take several trains and a taxi to get from where the naval base is there at Atsugi to Yokohama. Well, we get to the train station. And at the train station, everything is in Japanese. We did not understand any of it. I'm sure to anyone there, we looked completely lost. I know we did, because I know I felt lost, very confused. We go up to this one area, and there's not really anybody there that's like a trained person there that's telling you what to do. You have to try to read the instructions. There was this machine that we came to that you have to have this particular card in order to ride the train, okay? We're looking. All of a sudden, out of the blue, this little Japanese woman came up to us. She had her little baby inside a stroller. And in her broken English, because, I mean, she didn't have a whole lot of words, but in so many words, she said, "Can I help you? Can I be of assistance to you?" And Alan and I looked at one another and said, "Oh, yes, please," you know, because we had no idea how to get that card, where to go. You know, we didn't know anything. And she helped us, again, in her broken English. She showed us what to do to get that card and to be able to go onto the train to get to Yokohama to the immigration office. And in that happening, it occurred to me that regardless of being in another country, regardless of being somewhere where you didn't speak the language, you didn't know the culture, we are all the same. We are here to help one another in whatever way that we can do. And I hope that you guys know that whenever you see somebody that might be lost or that might have a look on their face like they're confused, that's what God calls us to do. And I'm sure that I think that God called that Japanese little girl there. I think that he blessed her and told her to go help those people. And so that's what we as Christians, that's what God calls us to do, is to be a good steward and to help others as best we can. Mm-hmm. And that's something, too, that the scouts do all the time. Their mission all the time is to always to help others. It's not about them, but it's about other people and the blessings that they get.
Amen.
Can we bow our heads and say a prayer? Father God, I just thank you for these children, and I thank you for the scouts, that they have the ability to help another person, that it's not always what they need, but it's what someone else might need, and the blessings that they give one another for doing that. And we just praise you, Lord, and we just lift you up, Lord, always, and we just pray this always in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Now take a piece of candy and we'll go out with Mrs. Long. She's back there in the back of the sanctuary for Children's Church. One piece. There you go. You're welcome. There you go. One more. Okay. You're welcome. Now I would like to invite the ushers to come forward as we continue to worship God with our tithes and offerings.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you to offer ourselves and our gifts for furthering your work, and we pray that you will use us and use these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We got really special music for you this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
We took from a really special person.
Amen.
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 Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today, Andy asked me to sing a song in a special music place, and after giving a little bit of thought, I thought about Peter and John as they were on the road one day, and they were on the way to the synagogue and saw a man who didn't have anything. He was a beggar, and he was begging for alms, and he asked Peter and John, you know, can you give me some money? And that reminds me of what we do here at Calvary with the manna bags, you know. And Peter and John told the man, they said, well, silver and gold, I don't have any. We don't have any money. But such as we do have, we'll give it to you. And what he gave them was the best gift that this man could ever, ever want. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And what a manifold blessing that must be, you know. And I think about most of us all here, you know, to my knowledge, there are no millionaires running around here at Calvary United Methodist. All we have is manna bags to give out to show the precious love of Jesus. And this song that I'm going to play and try and sing for you this morning talks about silver and gold. It says, silver and gold, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. No fame or fortune or riches untold, I'd just rather have Jesus than silver and gold. silver and gold. Silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold, nor fame or fortune or riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Don't give me a mansion on top of the hill. Don't give me the world with a shallow thrill. But just give me a Savior, my life he can hold. 'Cause I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Woke up this morning feeling kind of down. I called on my best friend, but he could not be found. Then I called on Jesus, my life he can hold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Gold, 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 gold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver.
I think Andy just said, all right, we'll keep you.
Yeah.
The multi-talented George Thompson. Robin mentioned a few moments ago during the announcements that we have had some losses in our congregation, and we have quite a bit of illness as well, and I'm going to talk with you about a couple of them. We had on Friday services for Cora Ordonez, which many of you know as the woman who sat in the wheelchair back in the back with Lewis, Reverend Ordonez, retired pastor, Church of the Nazarene from the Philippines. His wife passed away, and there were services here in this church on Friday. And so we're still praying for and remembering the Ordonez family this morning. We're also praying for the family of Betty Baer, who passed away yesterday after a brief illness. She has now gone to be with her Lord. And we are remembering both of her sisters, her son, and services are pending for her at a later date, and we will keep you informed of that. Marlene Stone went into the hospital over the weekend and has now been released and is at home, but continues to need our prayers for her strength and her health. Remember to keep Marlene and Lloyd in your prayers. Nancy Macer, who was in the hospital for about a week, is now at home. And the day that she got home, it turned out that she needed to put her little dog to sleep. And so she's had sort of a double loss. We're remembering her not only for her health recovery, but for losing her friend and family member as dogs become to her, to us. And we received word just this morning after the first service that Lou Beattie is in Orange Park Hospital, and we are remembering her today. Hopefully she'll be able to go home. I will check on her following this service. And Eleanor Rupert, who is Nancy Walker's mother, had a fall yesterday. And don't believe she's hospitalized, but that's where Bill and Nancy are this morning, is with Eleanor. And there may be others that you know of that you can speak to me about that need our prayers. And in this time of prayer, I invite you to name those prayers that you have close to your heart today. The name of a person, a place in the world, or a situation in life that needs to have God's healing touch surround them. Let's go to God in prayer, beginning with a moment of silence. Oh God, when we pray today for the temptations that Jesus experienced, we ask for the strength for us to say no, to live by your word and your word alone. When we are caught up with puffing up of the self, we pray for the humility to serve, to worship the only one who is worthy. When we are challenged to accumulate and find our security in wealth, we pray for the grace to give and for the faith to trust in your care. And so for us and for our world today, we embrace your wisdom and your word, and we commit to living in your light, so that we, in some small way, may dispel the darkness around us. We pray in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, in the glory forever and ever. Amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 382, we'll sing "Have Thine Own Way." We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verse.
Our scripture this morning is found in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. 13. And it is also found in your pew Bibles on page 74. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him and until an opportune time. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. I seldom talk about politics from the pulpit because, you know, it's just kind of a personal thing.
And I don't really like to because it's controversial. And if you're not careful, it really can blow up in your face. And you remember what they used to say a long time ago about politics and religion don't mix. And it says, politics and religion mix about as well as gasoline and lighters. It's not a good idea to bring them together. But I'm going to try and do it, at least in a brief way. As you know, we're in the middle of the primary season. The Iowa caucuses have met, and the New Hampshire primary has been held, and we've got others coming up. And the long list of suspects, I mean candidates, will now begin to be whittled down a little bit. People are starting to make predictions, you know, about what will happen in the primaries and in the convention and then in the election in the fall. But the real story of the election of 2016 will not be written until after the second Tuesday in November. Then newspaper columnists and political scientists and historians will be able to look back and pick out those moments that led to the fateful day in the fall when America elected a new president. It happens every single time, every 4 years. But for the church, the season of Lent, happening every year, is a time to look back at the life and ministry of Jesus and to see what it was that led him to the cross on Good Friday and then the empty tomb on Easter Day. Luke and the other gospel writers wrote years after the events they are talking about. And like any good political writer, looking back at the election of 2016, they have the advantage of hindsight. They can pick out those things to highlight that will help the readers understand who Jesus was and what his death and resurrection means for the people of the world. There are five Sundays in Lent, and our scripture during this time are picked out of scripture five different incidences that follow Jesus from baptism to the cross. And so in the upcoming weeks, we're going to hear about Herod the fox and Jesus as a mother hen to her chicks. And we will be reminded of the fig tree, which bore no fruit, and the prodigal son who ran away and then came back. We will sit at dinner with Lazarus and his sisters while one of them anoint Jesus' feet with her hair, with expensive perfume, and Judas begins to fret over what is being spent. But first, today we're going to think a little bit about the temptations of Jesus. Jesus alone in the wilderness with the devil. Now I have to wonder if this is what Jesus had in mind when he walked from Nazareth to the Jordan to get baptized. He comes up out of the water, you remember, and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, and a voice claims him as God's beloved son. Well, that's got to be one of the best days anybody's ever had, you know, to have the heavens opened and God's voice coming down. But then this happens. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. I don't know what Jesus expected to happen after his baptism, but I'm pretty sure 40 days without food while arguing with his list. But he may not have been expecting it, but he was prepared for it. The Holy Spirit has just declared Jesus to be the Son of God, so the tempter goes after that first. He says, if you are the Son of God, prove it. Command the stone to become bread. And you know that there had to be a temptation there since Jesus was fasting and probably very hungry. But drawing on his years of study of Scripture, he responds, it is written, or as Billy Graham used to say, the Bible says, man does not live by bread alone. So the devil tries again. If you will worship me, I'll give you the world. And Jesus again responds, it is written, quoting from Hebrew scriptures, worship the Lord your God alone. Well, for the final time, the devil tempts Jesus. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this pinnacle and let the angels catch you. And before Jesus can respond, the devil tries to beat him at his own Bible game and saying, it is written, citing the two places in Scripture where the writers claim the promise of God's protection. And Jesus, smiling and shaking his head, reminds the devil, it also says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. And there's kind of a double meaning behind that line about not putting the Lord to the test, because on the one hand, Jesus says to the devil, I can't jump off a roof testing to see if God will rescue me. It's against the Bible. But Jesus knows that the devil knows who he is. The devil knows he is the Son of God. He knows he is the Christ. So Jesus is telling the devil, it's not right to test me either, as I am the Son of God. Time's up, go away. And the devil did, for now. The last words of the text that Robin read for us are kind of haunting. It says the devil disappeared for what? To look for an opportune time to again tempt Jesus. A time when Jesus is vulnerable and questioning, a time when he's weak and stressed, a time when he's sorting out who he is and what it is he is called to do and be. This is why Jesus was so vehement. If you remember the story when Peter first called him the Christ, he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the anointed one of God. But then they tried to talk him out of the idea that to be Christ meant to suffer and die. And so what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Because behind the words of Peter, he heard the echoes of the devil's attempts to divert him from what he knew to be his necessary path toward the cross, suffering servant for the world. These were very real temptations that Jesus faced, real ways of following God that did not entail suffering, ways that made him popular and famous. But Jesus turned away from these ideas in the wilderness. He turned away from them when he confronted Peter, and he turned away for the last time in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed, if you can take this cup from me, do so, but not my will, but thine be done. Like Jesus, we struggle with what it means to be a child of God. As individuals, we struggle. As a congregation, we struggle. And as a worldwide Christian community, we're often tempted to seek out ways to follow Jesus that are easy, that make us look good, or that will give us more influence and popularity.
or that will make us more attractive to people outside and make people want to become a part of our community. As if winning people for Christ were the same thing as winning a primary or an election. But Jesus' time in the wilderness teaches us it's not. It's suffering servant. If we follow Jesus, my friends, we're following him to the cross. The season of Lent is an opportunity for us to examine ourselves and our temptations, and for us to embrace the life of being suffering servants on the way to the cross, seeking ways to serve those in need in the name of the one who died for all, for you, for me, and for all. And that path is a path sometimes we don't want to go on, but it is the journey now that we make with Jesus to the cross. Amen. And amen.
And now if you'd stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing "Change My Heart, O God."
Of Lent, when we're reflecting on our path following Jesus to the cross, I want you to keep in mind this cross that shows that we are not on that path alone, that we have a Savior who loves us, goes with us, and will not leave us. So every time we feel like we're moving off the path, he pulls us back. We are on the road, and we will, with Christ, go with him all the way, all the way. May the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,
the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you. And until we meet again, go